Good morning. I'm Pastor Philip. I'm the youth pastor here at Trailhead. If you guys weren't sure who I was, camp this week was absolutely phenomenal if you didn't get it from this video here. Lives were changed, hearts were mended, and broken was just picking up all the pieces. Man, it was so amazing to watch our students just really push in. It was definitely one of these things where I felt like that they were cheated out of last year, and so they were coming back for 2 years in one time. So they came back, and that was the one thing I sent to our leaders immediately when we got home was, I don't know how many conversations of like refiring and change and everything that they had in them was just different now. It was completely to come back. How much I love getting a text message last night saying, you are saving us all seats up front, right? And I said, yeah. And if you see them all sitting right up here, we have them crammed in. They're squashed in. They want to be close. I do want to start with saying thank you all so much for those that had donated, that had participated in any of our fundraisers. This year, we got to send 21 students to camp without paying anything but their small deposit. And then a bunch of other ones had just little bits and pieces to pick up the rest. You guys, thank you so much for being a part of that and helping us get there. Lives were changed, and it was because of your help. Pastor Josh got up here this morning, and I said, so help me, he's starting on my message already. So, needless to say, buckle in. This morning, I'm so excited. I've been told to stay in my area here, and everything in me just wants to jump and to be off and in there. And then you go to camp, and we have a speaker that literally touches and gets into the back row of the middle of service. And I'm like, that's me. Like, that's totally, I want to be out there on it. I need a leash. I need something to hold me here. But this morning, I want to say a message that is very common and very practical that I feel like every Wednesday night kind of leads to. It's kind of the same message that gets repackaged every week. And it's about our story. We all have a story. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. We all have different things that we go through during our stories. Some of them, we have our ups and downs. We have our victories. We have our battles. We have happy times. We have sad times. But all of those are personal, and they're ours. I heard it once spoken about. It's not about looking at your headstone and seeing the beginning date, the day you were born, or the end date, but it's the dash that's in between it. That's what our story is. Our story is that time from the day we were born to the day we leave earth and enter into heaven. It's about what happens here on earth at that point. Right now, all of us are going to be at different points in our life, different parts of our story. Some of us are facing some drama. I mean, we've all been there, right? We go through these moments where life just seems chaos and crazy at the time. Some of us are in a period of reflection or a period of victory. We just overcame something in our lives, making huge. Some of us are at a point that we are making a decision that's going to change a lot of things in our lives. There's a lot that has gotten us to the point that we're at today. There's a lot of things that have been going on every step that we've taken. A few weeks ago, Pastor Josh was talking about Paul, which he touched back in on Paul here. And I was sitting in the back there, and for some reason, it just sat heavy on my spirit. And it was just something I was like, there's something about this. And I've been praying and meditating on it for maybe 3 weeks now, knowing that I was coming to speak and yet not getting the vision of what it was, but God had placed it on me 3 weeks ago where we were going with this. Paul is somebody that is absolutely an amazing example with looking into our Bible for someone to give us some guidance. Who was Paul? There's so many people that go through life not knowing much about Paul. Paul wasn't always Paul. Paul was born Saul of Tarsus. Saul was one that was born of Jewish parents. He lived in the Roman Empire because they had citizenship from Rome. But when he was young, him and his family picked up and they moved to Jerusalem. And from that point on, they lived there the rest of their lives. Well, their parents did. And from a young age, he began to become a leader within his community. He was looked upon for approval. People followed after looking to see, is Paul, are you good with this? Are we okay? When we look at this in Acts 8, 1 through 3, it gives a great example of it. Acts 8, 1 through 3, it says, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned him deeply. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged them off, both men and women, and put them in prison. Who was Stephen in this? Who was Paul giving his approval to? Stephen was one that faced the council. He went up and said, listen, how long are you going to continue to run away from what God has for you? How long are you going to deny like your ancestors did for years and years, wandering through the desert, denying that what God had put before them was where they were supposed to go? They wandered and wandered. How they went as far as eventually ancestors-wise to deny the Messiah. They did not recognize him as Jesus, as the coming Messiah. And they just kept refusing, even though God kept showing and showing and showing. And Stephen said, that's enough. When are you going to quit denying? They didn't like his answer, so the people gathered stones. And they came and they said, and says in the chapter right before that, they came and laid their coats down in front of Saul and began stoning Stephen to death. And they looked at Saul and said, do you approve? And he did. Saul went out going from home to home, trying to destroy the very church that God was building. That was his life. That is exactly who he was. He was a leader in it, and people looked up to him for that. They wanted his approval. But guess what? We're going to go in here. No. But God was looking on this. It even says in Acts 9, verse 1, it says, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. This was a man so angry and so against Christ, he was eager to kill the followers. He was eager to go out and see destruction in these lives. But there was a plot twist in his story. There was a time where it all turned around. And we find that in Acts 9, 3 through 9. It says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. Jesus then, he spoke to a man, Ananias, in another town and said, Ananias, I need you to do something for me. I want you to go to Saul and I want you to pray for him so that he receives his sight back so he can see again. Ananias questioned Jesus at that moment. He said, listen, Saul of Tarsus, are we talking about the same person here? I know who that is. Lord, I'm following you. I'm giving you all my heart. And you want me to go to the man that wants me to see me dead? And the Lord spoke the greatest thing. Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and the people of Israel. Ananias took that word and he went. He went immediately to Damascus and he found Saul exactly where he was told to go. He laid his hands on Saul, and Saul received his sight back. Not only that, Saul was baptized in the Holy Spirit all at the same time. I mean, if God didn't have a plan for Saul at that moment, come on, what in the world are you looking for? Paul went on later with so many accomplishments. He went on to impact his world, our world, and the generations that come behind us. He has made such a difference in our lives, and there's so many of us that don't even know it. If you weren't aware, out of the 27 books in the Bible, Paul was credited for writing 13 of them in the New Testament. 13 books in there. The man that was out killing Christians, that was locking them up for believing in Jesus. The man has poured everything into this word. He went on to 3 long missionary journeys where he traveled around and he was planting churches and he was ministering to people. He was encouraging these people. He was giving them strength to all these early Christians. He was shipwrecked and survived. Paul was locked in prison and was freed. Paul eventually was martyred for his faith in Christ by the Romans. The very man that set out to kill people for believing in Jesus died for that very same thing. The Holy Spirit moved in his life. Jesus shown himself to him time and time again. And he died being a martyr for Christ, knowing truly what was important in his life at that time. So many of us are living our stories right now, and we're struggling to see our future and to see what our legacy is going to be because of something that might have happened at the beginning of our story. Today, I want you to know, no matter what happened at the beginning of your story, it's not over. It's not finished. Jesus said this about Paul: "This man is my chosen instrument." The man that had a reputation that was known by nations. It was a man that done some very bad things, that had persecuted crowds and huge numbers of people, but he was Jesus' chosen instrument to his people, to the kings, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. He was called to come in and minister to these people. You too are Jesus' chosen instrument. He wants to use you. And it doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter what the beginning of the story looks like for you. You were chosen for such a time as this. At camp this week, there was part of the message that stuck out to me that it was so good. If God needed Moses now, he would be here. If God needed Sarah now, she would be here. If God needed anybody that you can find in your Bible for right now, they would be here. Who's here? We are. We're here for right now. For a purpose, for this very reason, for this very season, in this building, in this town, in this county, we are here. For a reason. We are his chosen instrument. I'm sure Paul struggled a bit. I'm sure he had a hard time. I know I've had hard times with things in my past of going, God can't use me any longer. I've allowed those things to take control of my thoughts, to take control of my abilities, to move forward, to do things. To listen and just follow the voice of God in my life. Nah, he can't use me in that because I've done this. He can't use me because of the thoughts I've had towards something. He can't use me wrong. If he can use Paul, he can use me. If he can use Paul, he can use you. We all have this same calling in our lives. We all have this moment that we have to make a decision, that we have to not allow our past to control our future. Paul had some great things in his writings. In Romans 12, he gave these instructions. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." We have to renew our minds. When we renew our minds, it's not about just wiping that away, but it's about changing our thought process and seeing and thinking things like Jesus sees them, like he thinks about them. When you start changing those things, people in your life start becoming different because you see them for what Jesus sees them for. He tells us, Jesus, to cast our cares. We find this in 1 Peter 5, 7, and I like it in the Amplified. I was reading in there. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time." Right now, this is the appropriate time. He's brought us here. "Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all." Not some of them, all of them. Anything, your cares, your past, your issues, cast those on him, for he cares about you with the deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. He wants to take them, but so many of us hold on to these things. We start making them to where they define who we are. I am what I've done. I am what I've said. But we aren't that. Some of you struggle with the fact that you've had sin in your past life. 1 John 1, 8 through 9 says, "If we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Guys, we don't have to carry these things. We can ask for forgiveness and it is ours to take. We have it. That's not enough. Romans 6, 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin, the price for sin is death. But Jesus paid that for us already. We don't have to work it out. We don't have to pay it out. We don't have to try to compensate. We don't have to try to come up with something that's going to override and overpower our sin. Jesus has already done that on the cross for us. So many of us forget those in hard times. We forget when we slip up. Man, we are human. But by the grace of God, we can simply say, "Lord, I messed up and I need you to forgive me." And instantly, it's done. It's over. It's gone. I love that the Bible says he casts those things from as far east as from the west. And I say it all the time, as far as you want to walk east, you'll never go west. And as far as you go west, you'll never go east. You can't get to the other side walking the one way. So your sins are gone one way, let's go the other. To never be seen again. We aren't to pick them up. Lastly, we are made new. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. When we accepted Jesus in our hearts, we were born again. We are not the person we once were. We have accepted it and Jesus is living on the inside of us. We can't forget that. He knows our heart. Even when we make mistakes, he knows our heart. Mistakes aren't typically done out of malice. We're not purposefully going out to create these things. We just catch ourselves in an off moment where our minds are not in the right place. Our thoughts are not in the right place. But Jesus is still there. He's still faithful. He's still walking with us. He never leaves us. He never forgets about us. He is with us every single step of the way. Some of you in this room right now, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. Maybe this is the first time that you connected with what was being said, that I did not know that Jesus did all this for me, that I can freely walk about this earth knowing that I am watched over, that I am protected, that I am not held in bondage. I don't have to be. And you say, I need this Jesus. I want that Jesus in my heart. I want to receive him. Just out of the sake of just your first time of stepping out into those places, I'm going to ask everybody to just close your eyes for a second. If that's you in this place and you said, listen, I have never truly accepted Jesus into my heart, and it didn't connect with me until now, but this is the time, this is it. I want him. I want all he's got to offer. I want to receive him. I want this to be a different day when I walk out of here today. If that's you, just simply raise your hand. Lift your hand up. Don't be ashamed. This is nothing to be ashamed about. This is a victory. This is a moment of life change. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Well, praise God. I don't see any hands right now. You guys can open your eyes. I get excited about that. That means everybody knows Jesus. Awesome. But I'm not done. Some of you have already written the ending of your story. But that's not for you to do. Some of you have allowed those things in your past to hold you back and to define where you're going. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Today, I want to ask you to allow God to rewrite your story, to rewrite what he has for you, and you not to tell him what you have for him. Today, I want you to choose to follow him, to embrace him, to know that you are his instrument, to be used, a willing vessel like we sang about, to be used by him, to understand that we are more than conquerors, that we are the head and not the tail. We aren't called to suffer. We aren't called to carry these burdens. Under all your seats, there's a piece of paper. If you want to grab it right now. What's on your paper? You guys are looking at your story tomorrow. It's not written. It's not predestined. You're looking at your future right there. Now you need to pray out and ask God, Lord, where am I going with this? Some of you need to do something else. Stephen, you can do your thing on that. Some of you need to get real honest with yourself right now. You need to come to a place where you understand that the things that were holding you back are not yours. They're not for you to take out of this building today. They were never for you to have to begin with. Some of you need to take that paper for a minute and you need to write those things down on there. It's not for anybody else in this room. It's only for you. Some of you have been dealing with depression. Some of you have been dealing with anxiety. Some have been dealing with the fact that you messed up once. You messed up twice. You messed up 100 times. And you think that that's how your story's going to end because of that right there. This is not how your story ends. This is not how it's supposed to be. I want you to write these things down. There's pens at the backs of the seat. If you don't have a pen, ask somebody next to you. Somebody's got a pen. You don't have to go into detail, or you can do as much as you want on here. But here's what I do know, that we need to get rid of these things, that these things don't belong to us, that these things need to be gone forever. And just as an outward showing for something that maybe you're going through or something that you've been dealing with or struggling with, I want you to get rid of them to the point that we shred it. This isn't for you to take here. This is for you to leave and to be cut into tiny little pieces. Something that makes it so hard as a representation of something that's so hard not to be able to pick up and piece back together again. It's gone. Let's give it to Jesus. Let's let it go. Let's let God tell us where our story's going. Not everybody is going to have to shred something. But if you have anything, I'm telling you, this is your time. You're here for such a time as this. I believe God's put you in this service for this very reason. Some of you may have struggled getting up out of bed this morning and said, I'm not sure if I really want to go. But you're like, nah, I better get there. Maybe it's for this. Maybe it's for you to finally realize that you are carrying stuff that does not belong to you. And it is time to get rid of them. So we're going to let the band go ahead and do their thing for a minute here. When you're ready, when you feel like it's time to cast these things off, it's time to let them go forever, I want you to come down here, and there's three of them, and just put it in there and let it go. Don't pick it back up. Don't go digging for it. It's gone. It's nothing that you can get back. Remember that. You cannot have these things back. It's gone. It's gone through the process, and Jesus has taken control, and it is his now. If you're in the balcony, we even have a shredder sitting up there just so you don't have to make the journey all the way around and down. But take this moment to reflect. Maybe even before coming up, Lord, we just give these to you today and thank him for his goodness that even through whatever's on this paper, he has still been faithful. He's still been there every step of the way. There's nothing you can do to escape him. There's nothing you can do to repel him. He is here with open arms, ready to receive you, ready to rewrite, ready to fill you, ready to renew you, ready to carry those things off of you, but you have to allow him. You have to do it. So just take a few moments, and I'll come back and we'll end this. Thank you.
in this all I now surrender. You were breaking a new ground. You were breaking a new ground. So make me a vessel.
Let that be your heart's cry right now is, Lord, bring new power, new wine out of us. Lord, we have given our hearts today, Father God. We have given our issues. And Lord, we just ask you right now to just fill us up in this place. Father, just fill us to where there's only room for you and nothing else in our lives. Lord, I just thank you right now for a constant reminder that every time that we look at a blank piece of paper, we know that that's what our future is, that it is endlessly not written, Father God, that it is something that we know that you are working out every single day, Father, that there's nothing that is defining us that is going to keep us from moving forward into what you have for us. Lord, we just thank you that the things that we left here today do not go with us, Father, that they are yours. And Lord, we just thank you for taking those burdens for us, for taking our sin on the cross, Father, for paying that price. Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in this place and in our lives, Lord. And we give you all the praise for it. And everyone said, amen.